Welcome to the Parkway Life Church podcast. Thank you for taking time to let God's Word impact you. You're always encouraged to know God is touching lives through this ministry. Please visit parkwaylife.com to let us know. You can also hit the Giving tab to sow into the ministry that you are experiencing. Now, prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
So, I'm going to kick off this year and this first Wednesday night and talk to you a little bit, instruct you, talk to you, chat at you a little bit. If you got opportunity to take notes, it would be cool to write some things down we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to simply call it this: listen more, talk less, and calm down. Is that a good subject for everybody? Do it with me. You ready? Listen more, talk less, and calm down. We look, in this day and hour, we look without seeing. We listen without hearing. And we speak without understanding. It's a weird time. We are wired up. We are tuned in. We are a hyper-caffeinated generation. And we've learned how to make a living, listen to this, but not a life. We've added years to life, but not life to years. We've been all the way to the moon and back, but we can't cross the road and connect and learn how to meet a neighbor. It's a weird, weird time. We've done larger things, but not better things. But out of these little statements that I'm making, this is the one that really stands out to me the most that you might want to jot down, and it is this: we've conquered outer space, but we've never learned how to conquer inner space. We've got so much going, and we've become so smart and so intelligent, and we can do things that we couldn't do so many years ago, but we still have not conquered the inner space. We're not even close to conquering the heart, what's going on inside of us. And if we were all honest with ourselves, we would, I believe, all say that the real battles of our life are on the inside. It's not on the outside. It's not what everybody else can see. It's what's going on in the inside is what we all are facing. We are facing that man or that woman that's looking at us in the mirror. It's self. It's us. It's the ones we're struggling with. And so that brings me to a little book in the Bible called the Book of James. I'm telling you, one of the most powerful books in the Bible. One of these days, I'll do another series on James because it is so, so powerful. But this little book of James becomes incredibly relevant in what I'm talking about here. And it reads as this: James 1, 19 through 20. It says this: "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person..." And you have it on the screen, so read the rest with me if you don't mind. "Be quick to hear, slow to anger," slow to speak, very good. "Be slower to speak," Nathan Keating. "Be slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Very, very good scripture, isn't it? So let's focus on three basic commands that James gives us. And that's where I get my title here for you tonight. And that is, let's look at this first one. Let's talk about listen more. Listen more. Turn around to your neighbor and just say, listen more. Listen more. And we're going to draw this from this scripture in James. And we're going to single this part out. And we're going to talk about this, and this is from that first part of verse 19 when it says this: "Be quick to hear." Be quick to hear. Listen more. And so in 2018, if we're going to really heed what James is talking about, we're going to listen more. We're going to be quick to hear. Quick to hear. That's not normally the way we would say, "Hey, listen up." We would say, "Hey, be quick to hear." And so we're going to kind of unpack that a little bit. Wisdom begins when we listen more and we talk less. Boy, what a thing we need to hear in 2018. Because when you go to work tomorrow, it's just going to be la, 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 la. And you're trying to decipher all of that. But wisdom begins when we listen more and we talk less. And this sort of listening starts by paying attention to the greatest thing, first of all, and that is listening closely and intently for a word from God. And we do that by going to the Word of God. In the first century, believers had something, they did not have some things that we have. They did not have the New Testament. And so when they said read the Word, they were not reading the New Testament, which is crammed full of life and life-giving things and these precious life and times of Christ and all these different things and the miracles and the books that teach us how to live, all the different letters that were written that are called the epistles. They didn't have all that stuff. They were trying to decipher everything through the Old Testament, and they're working all that. Now listen to what you and I have. On your phone, you dudes right there that are taking notes on your phone. On your phone is this powerful computer. And most of you, unless you're still using this flip phone, you have apps on there that you can put the entire Bible on your phone. Like Old Testament, New Testament, not only that, I can do within a second, I can do on my phone a search and find all the times that it says a certain word in the Bible right on my phone. I have this all this technology, and we have the YouVersion app, Bible app, that we can read and study all kinds of things, you and I, and do it all free and check all these things out. And they didn't have any of that stuff. And I sometimes think our modern technology has made it so easy to hear the word that we hardly hear it at all. We have it so easy that we don't hear it all, and so no one would ever, and I wouldn't want to, trade our current technology for what they had 2,000 something years ago. But I will say this: technology is absolutely useless and it can be even dangerous if we are so busy and so distracted that we are not quick to hear what God is saying to us in the now. Is that all right? Somebody said amen. In other words, we can have all the Bible apps and we can have all this and we can have all that and still absolutely not ever hear what God is speaking to the church and what God is speaking to our lives. And so I'm encouraging us tonight to be quick to hear. Now, I want to unpack that word quick just a little bit to kind of give you a word picture, go along with it. And the word picture is from John chapter 20 and verse 4. And it's describing another time when it says quick in the Bible, and use the same Greek word, if you can get all theological here with me for just a minute. It's the same Greek word. And it's talking about Peter when he outran John to get to the tomb where Jesus had, where the tomb had been rolled back, and they heard Jesus was missing all this stuff, and they heard this rumor. And the Bible talks about Peter and John running to the tomb, and on their way that Peter outran John. And the Bible uses the terminology and he was quick. He was quick. And so I gave you that word picture, although that particular scripture has nothing to do with what I'm talking about here, about being quick to hear. I'm trying to use it to unpack a word for you, and that is this word quick to hear. Quick. It's the same word quick that they use with Peter outrunning John. He was quick to get to find Jesus and look for Jesus in the tomb. He was quick to get to the empty tomb. So I'm using that now, be quick to hear. What does that mean? We need to outrun ourselves in hearing the voice of God. Outrun ourselves to find out what God has to say to us. I want you to be quick. In other words, I want you to run faster than all the other things that are running around you. I want you to be running that quick inside your spirit to hear the word of God, the voice of God in your life. the Word of God in your life. I want you to be quick to that. I want you to move to that. See, we sometimes can be quick to all the wrong things, making decisions, this and college and work and this and quick. We can be quick for all the things in life and not be quick to hear the voice of God. I don't know about you, but in 2018, I Nathan Keating, want to be quick. I want to be quick on my feet. I want to be quick to hear the voice of God. Before I want to know anything else, I want to know what God has to say about it. Can you say amen to that? I want to know what God has to say. I don't want to know what the New York Times, I don't want to know what Fox, I don't want to know what CNN, I want to know what the Lord has to say about what's going on in my life. I need a word from God. And be quick to hear. Be quick to hear. I think all of us would be a little bit better if when we woke up in the morning, the first thing that we touched wasn't Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, but the first thing that we did was pick up our Bibles. The first thing, we could grab the Word of God and put it in our Bible. I heard of one family that they said this. They said, no Bible, no breakfast. Yeah, that's not very cool anymore, is it? That'll make you get in the Word of God quick. Huh? No Bible, no breakfast. What if that become your thought pattern? That until I read the Word, that's pushing me to quit. It's pushing me to quit. Before I read the Word, before I eat, before I do anything else, the Word of God becomes my anchor. I'm quick. That's the kind of quick I'm talking about. Make that a pattern in your new year to be quick. What would that change? What better decisions would you make if you were quick to hear the voice of God through the Word of God? Number two, everybody say this one, talk less. Very good, talk less. Where are we getting that from? The scripture I read to you, it's the last part of verse 19, and it says, be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. Ecclesiastes 5:2 says it this way, God is in heaven and you are on earth, therefore, let your words be few. Let's say it. So I'm going to read it to you again. God is in heaven, and you are on earth, therefore, let your words be few. There is a time to speak and a time to be silent. But most of us are better at the former and not so good at the latter. We talk real fast. We move real quick. We just do it. We just go fast. Proverbs 29:20, if the other scriptures didn't hit home, check this one out. Proverbs 29:20 says this. It says, do you see a man who speaks in haste? Just boom, he speaks in haste. There is more hope for a fool than for him. That kind of helps you out, doesn't it? Or hurts you. There's more hope for a fool than for him, that man that speaks in haste, just speaks before he thinks. He's just chatting, always talking, but never just listen. Listen up. Listen. What do you do when you start listening? When you get to the point where you talk less, what happens? When you talk less, you start thinking and you start having things like this, that when you're wrong, you think enough that you can admit that you're wrong. Whenever you're right, then you shut up. That's a tough one for us, right? It's so easy to kill a marriage or kill a friendship with an unkind word just because we talk. And we never learn how to just shut the valve off. And so marriages have been killed. Friendships have been killed just because that mouth is running. So talk less. Talk less. How many times have we said something in anger only to regret it 1,000 times over? Man, I wish I wouldn't have said that. Let me just kind of pause to make an application that I would not have made or even thought about making probably 10 years ago, I wouldn't even probably thought about this, but now I think about these kind of things when I talk about talking less. I think about social media and how it encourages us to have this real quick feedback. It's live, it's moving quick, it's at the speed of just sound, it's just moving. And someone says something that we don't like, and without thinking it through, we're not talking less. And so without thinking it through, we post a snide comment. I mean, we got an instant comeback. We're quick on our feet, and instead of quick to hear the voice of God, instead of talking less, we're quick to speak. And so we have a snide comment or a clever comeback or a mean-spirited innuendo. And sometimes we are so eager to post that we do the unthinkable. We hit this button called send. And the world, our little world, our people we influence, boom, we start talking. And it spreads out there. And let me just kind of give it to you this way. Slow down. Slow down. Wait a minute. Think about it. We can just kind of get that out. Just turn around and tell somebody, say, you're probably going to hurt my feelings this year. See, you've already got that out. You've already got that out. Man. Did y'all get that out? Didn't it feel good? Now when they do that, you're just going to go, I told you. No, you're going to talk less. You're not going to post it on Facebook with their picture. Are you not gonna have this weird passive aggressive deal where you set it up but you don't really flesh it out? And so everybody that's your friends goes, are they talking about me? Talk less. Talk less. Tons of that stuff going on. It's not cloaked, it's not making you sound good. It's not, when you over talking, it never makes you sound good. When you're trying to fluff that up and sound so smart on Facebook to the point where you're busting somebody's hide and you don't put their name, you're not making it. I would rather somebody put my name on it. Because then I know who they're dealing with, and I go, okay, I really thought they were talking about me in the first place. Now I at least can inbox with them and then call them and have dialogue about it. But people in this day and age wanna do that. They wanna put those things out there that grab, that hurt, that whatever, and you're saying, Pastor, are you fleshing out something? Are you mad about something? No, I'm not mad at all. I'm just saying somebody's probably gonna hurt my feelings in 2018. Somebody's going to hurt your feelings in 2018. How are we going to handle it? We're going to slow down. We're going to wait. We're going to think about it. When James says, be slow to speak, he is thinking about our tendency to speak when we are angry and frustrated. He's not talking about when we're going, man, I want to go to Disney World, and we're excited about that, and we're talking about it too much. No. He's talking about when we're angry and we're frustrated and it comes out and we're, he says, whoa, be slow, calm down, slow to speak at that moment. Use wisdom right there. And I'm telling you, if you hear what I'm saying right now, it's gonna help you this year. I'm sure you've heard it said, speak when you're angry and you'll make the best speech you'll ever regret. I'll say it again. Speak when you're angry and you'll make the best speech you'll ever regret. How many of y'all remember that statement? I'm going to start off and see if you can finish it. It may be just a statement that the students don't know. I don't know. Sticks and... Oh, y'all know this? That one's still around? May... How many of y'all have said that when somebody... How many of y'all believe that? Let me tell you the only time that works. The only time that works is if you have absolutely no feelings. And last time I checked, we are all packed full of emotions and feelings. And so sticks and stones is not what your heart is made out of, and that's what's going to break when those words penetrate that heart. And so be careful. Talk less. Talk less. When you get mad in marriage, when you get mad in friendships, look at me, students. Listen at me. Talk less. Stir up less strife. Stir it up. Don't quit stirring it up. Quit stir. Just talk less. Talk less. Be wise. Think before you speak. Be slow to speak. He's talking about our tendency to speak when we're angry and we're frustrated. Come at me, and so I want to treat others the way I'd want to be treated. Number three is this big one in yellow here, and it is calm down. Say, calm down, Nelly, slow down. Calm down, calm down, calm down, calm down. All right, here we go. Where are we getting that from? And that is verse 19, the last part of it. It says, be slow to anger. Just be slow to anger. Don't get angry. Here, that to never get angry. I want you to look at that real good. Be slow to anger. He doesn't say never get angry, because the Word of God is very relevant. He absolutely knows anger is built into you. It's part of the something that's up inside of you. It's going to happen from time to time. And I know there's a few people that's hard to push your buttons. You're a little harder to get angry and all that kind of stuff. And we love you for that. But the majority of us, we have some buttons that you can push and we're like, but the key here, James says, is be slow to anger. I know you're going to get mad, but be slow to anger. Be slow to it. The word translated anger actually refers to deep-seated rage. It doesn't refer to a passing moment, a moment of displeasure, which is soon gone and forgotten. It's that little moment that you won't even remember tomorrow. I'm not even talking about that. You're going to have those little moments you get mad, and I'm not talking about that. Those little things are just so moved here and there and all throughout the day. That's not even the stuff I'm talking about. But he's talking about deep-seated rage. In other words, those deep angers inside of you. Be very careful with those. James is speaking of that deep emotion, which when released is like a volcano erupting. It spews red hot lava all over the living room. It's like, and when you get through, you're going, why did I say those things? Why did I do that? Why did I where did that come from? That don't even sound like me, but it's coming out of this deep, deep rage. Anger is under your control. You have the ability. Don't say, well, I don't have the ability to control my anger. Every once in a while, you just hear that, it just kind of comes out of you. That's not the way it is. Anger is completely under your control. And so you have to make sure that you're slow to anger. Sometimes we talk about blowing up. You ever hear anybody say, well, I just blow up. That makes it sound like you don't have any ability to handle any of that. It's as if it happened against your will, that something like, you know, put a pin in and boom. But that's a cop out. Anger is an emotion that we control. And in 2018, be careful, be slow to anger. Calm down. And here's the proof that you can control it. Have you ever had an argument with your spouse and the phone rings and you and your spouse are just going at it? I mean, and that wasn't tongues that I'm talking about. I mean, you are getting out of here, bam, 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 bam. You're coming at one another. Y'all don't do that? You holy, holy people. And the phone rings. Ring. And you're, hello, how are you doing? Yeah, things are going, going great here, man. Good to hear from you. Life's, going great. All right, God bless. I see it at church, and we make fun of this sometimes, but we say, you know, people come in and all week, you know, she's late for church, the kids are late for church, he's late for something, and you're like, and you drive on the parking lot, and you say, and you open the door of the car, and it's calming down, and then all of a sudden you see the pastor, and you're like, hey, how you doing, or Gene Gary, he goes, hey, man, good to see you, brother, and you're like, yeah, good to see you, brother, but I can hit the sister. I mean, you know what I mean? Or vice versa. But what happens? We have the ability to control it. We get in front of people, we control it. They often say when you're dealing with conflict and dealing with conflict resolution, you want to always try to deal with that where if you need a mediator or such, do it in a public place. In other words, why are we saying do that in a public place? Why are we saying go to the local restaurant? Not so you throw a temper tantrum in the restaurant, but more than likely you're not going to throw a temper tantrum because you're around other people. Why is that? You have the ability to control your anger. And James knows that, and he's saying, calm down in 2018. Be slow to anger. You want your marriage to be better this year? Calm down. You want this to be a better year and all your blood pressure and all that? Calm down. You can do it. You have the ability to control that anger. You have the ability to do that. And so there is this progression with anger. We're quick to hear, we will be slow to speak. If we're quick to hear, we're going to be slow to speak, because quick speaking leads to quick anger. The more I talk, the faster I talk, the more I'm go to anger. Slow down. Calm it down. Dina and I have a blog that we like, and it's called Scream Free Marriage. And I think it's a really cool title, first of all. I was at a conference and saw it, a booth they had, and Scream Free Marriage, and I'm like, Scream Free Marriage? I thought it was weird, but the more I thought about it, and it's simply based around a thought kind of like what I'm sharing with you tonight, and that is this: when we slow down, when we listen, and so calm down. And I'm not trying to be condescending the way I'm saying that. But just make sure, because the anger we get, the faster we speak, and then we do something, we hear less. And so it starts this cycle in our life that just spins out of control. And I don't want that in my marriage or with my kids or with my church family. I don't want that this year. And so I want to listen. I want to be slow to speak. Solomon's wise counsel in Proverbs said this, 16 verse 32, he says, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Check this out. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Now, if you just read over that, maybe it's not opening up to you. So I want to just stop here and kind of flesh this scripture out just real quick to you. We don't really believe this scripture. Let's look at it again. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. We don't really believe it. And so, let me tell you why. It's because, let me ask you this question. Would you rather be called a patient person or a warrior? Would you rather be called a patient man or a warrior? I would just tell you this right here. I'll be a warrior. Even the chicks, they'd be like, I want to be a warrior. I want to be a warrior. Because like the patient man, he's the one that does the diapers, takes out the trash. The one that is slow to anger. So we'd rather be the warrior. We want to take things. We want to take it. In fact, that language has come into Christianity, and it's become a part of things that we say even in the church. And we do it innocent, and I'm not saying it's bad, but let me show you how it comes into this. Solomon says it's better to control your temper than to take a city. And using that military imagery all the time, we talk about taking things all the time, even in church, don't we? We talk about, I'm going to take my city for Christ. I hear pastors saying, I'm going to win the golden triangle for Christ. And there's nothing wrong with that. So I'm not trying to act like there's something wrong with it. But it's that imagery that's come in the church where we're all about warrior. But let me show you how sometimes it goes. I'm going to take my city for Christ, and I'll lose my wife in the process. Because I was big on being the warrior, but I was slow on being that. I wasn't much on being that man of patience when it comes to calming down, slow to anger. But I was all about taking things. I want to take command of my family. I took my city for God, but my children are slow to love Jesus. They don't really love Christ. And so I want to make sure that in this process that I am slow down, I calm down, I make sure that I get my priorities right. I want to be called a man who is patient in my anger. I want to be that I'm not quick to my feet to get mad, that I'm not quick to my feet to be offended, and I'm not, but I listen more, and I talk less, and I'm slow to get angry. And I believe that is going to make for a better 2018. I think James knew we would have an issue with this third command, slow to anger. So he gave a little more to this third one. He said this in verse 20, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So why should I be slow to anger? Because if I am quick to anger and I move quick and I'm going at that hard, I'm going to tell you what it's not going to do. It's not going to produce the righteousness of God. So let me jump back here, and I'm going to use something that Brandon said. When Brandon came up here earlier, and he beautifully, a few moments, said, my passion, my desire, my New Year's resolution is to draw closer to God, right? Beautifully said, I agree wholeheartedly with him. But let's look at this real quick. He said that. He doesn't have this, but let's play like it, okay? He's not slow to anger. He's mad at every little thing that comes along. He's frustrated. Is he going to attain his resolution? Is he going to get close to the righteousness of God? He's pursuing the righteousness of God verbally and maybe in his heart, but his spirit is out of control. It's not. We're using this as a type, okay? Because we see it. It comes out of him, this jump into anger. And this is exactly what I'm saying. He's saying, listen here, Brandon. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And so you can have this new resolution to become closer to God and seek after his righteousness, and not the righteousness of man that is a filthy rags, but righteousness of God. And I'm going to pursue that with my whole heart. And I have literally, and I'm using this example because I've seen so many men and women in the church pursuing God. And they're at church, they're like, I want the righteousness of God, man, I love God. And they're behind the preaching, and they're paying their tithes, and they're doing all this stuff. And then they're like a tyrant at home They're like, rah! And what happens is their outward approach to the righteousness of God becomes wasteful because they're not doing the basic things. And James laying it out, for this man, anger of man does not produce the right. It just can't happen. It's not in the equation. It doesn't work out right. So you've got to get your anger under control. And you can get it under control. And there is one key factor that you need to get this under control. Of course, man, we can go to anger management, and that's good if you need that. But some of you are probably not at that place. Maybe I'm not at that place. I agree. We're not trying to be dramatic here, but what I am trying to say is this. I've got to have Jesus on board. I've got to have Christ on board. I have got to have Christ in me. Because we believe as Christians that when I have got Christ in me, I am going to then produce Christ-like spirit. I am going to produce Christ-like mannerisms, and I'm going to walk like him. I'm going to talk like him. I'm going to be like him. I'm going to dress like him. And my conversation is going to be what would make him happy. Not the imperfection, by no means am I trying to act like, man, you're just Scotty White and everything's perfect and everything's just right. I don't mean that at all, but I am saying this, that the Christ in me begins to convict my spirit and work on something inside of me, that he constantly creates within me a clean heart and a right spirit. And so God works on in me. And so I don't want you to come out of this lesson tonight and I'm finished. I really am. I'm closing up. But I don't want you to come out of this lesson going, okay, now this is what he means to do with this. This is how we're going to work this. I'm going to do better on listening more. I'm going to do better in being slow to anger, and I'm going to do better in being slow to speak. I'm going to do that. And so I get on the treadmill of that New Year's resolution, and I got to do it. This is what I want you to come out here this with tonight. And this, all of that's great. All that's good is trying to manage all that. But I've come to find out I don't do real well managing those things. I try to band-aid those things up, but I still bleed through and bust through sometimes, and I'm still real fleshy when it comes out like that. Is that all right to say? What I need is Christ in me. I need Jesus in me. And you're saying, well, dude, I got that. Awesome. Awesome. Now let Christ in you start working out of you. Let it work out of you at school. Well, she just ticks me off. Tick, 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 tick. The world's saying that same kind of trash. You're different. I'm not trying to put you in a conviction. I'm trying to say the Jesus in you just sounds different than the enemy that is in the world. The Jesus in you comes out. And I don't mean it's always got this little halo and, oh, I love to be offended. His love hurt me again with those mean words. No. I'm not being an idiot. I'm being very relative in where we are here. But I am saying this, that Christ in you starts making you calm down, talk less, listen more. He laces your heart with the power of wisdom. Does that make sense to anybody here tonight? If it does, would you stand with me? That means if it doesn't, sit down. So that's not real good. Just stand up like you're faking me out. And so, everybody say that with me. Say, calm down. Talk less. Listen more. We got to tap into that, and we do that through the power of Christ. And so here it is biblically, swift to hear, quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Calm it down, listen up, and then make sure your heart is attached to Christ in 2018. And let him govern
what comes in and out of you. And I think you're going to be a healthy, healthy person this year. Man, I want to see great things at Parkway this year, don't you? I mean, I just want to say, just incredible, awesome, cool things. But I think if we get some of these little basics right here, they're just really, really relative things for our lives. It's going to make your personal lives go better, your home life go better, your kid act deal, your marriages, your friendships go better. And so much less turmoil in our world. So much less. I saw a deal the other day. Brandon, come here just a minute. He don't know what we're doing here, and I don't even know that we're completely if I'm going to act this out. But I saw a deal the other day on Facebook, and it had this guy. He called. He was at this high school, and he called somebody up like I just called Brandon up. And he said, y'all probably saw it. He said, I want you to just cut me down, you know, just wear me out and all that kind of stuff. And this person, y'all saw that? Anybody saw that? And this guy, and this kid is doing this to this adult, and they're like cutting them down, and the whole crowd of high schoolers are going, ooh, you know, and it's got all the little cool sayings of 2017, what, you know, it's 2007, all the little statements, like, boop, many little words, and they're like, ooh, 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 ooh. And this guy was just kind of wilting over here, and this, I mean, it was some pretty rough words. They were like slicing and dicing, because they can do that. And he said, now, I want to do something a little different. He said, I want you to do it again. And he got a couple people over there, and they just going at me. And he said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to just do all that same thing again, but this time I'm going to respond back to you. So they got up there again, and they started coming after me. Boom, boom, boom. I really don't want to hear what you got to say about me. I don't want you to hear anybody. No, I'm kidding. Look. So they were coming this way, and he says, and I'm gonna do like this. Man, that is a sharp looking sweater you got on. Well, you got a sweater, but you man, I'm gonna tell you what, seems like just such, your hair is just, who did your hair? It looks awesome, man. I'm just proud of you. You're such a nice looking guy. And then they fire back. And he just kept, man, you're such an intelligent, you're quick on your feet, and I could tell, you know, you had a sharp mind. And this kept going on. And this person, a few minutes ago, was going, rat, 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 and the congregation going, ooh, ooh, ooh. Y'all like how I do that? Ooh, ooh. The congregation, look what happens. Every time these little smart-out remarks were coming, and this guy was firing back with kindness, I watched, and you can do it, you can watch this. This person here starts smiling. And they're going, well, your sweater looks dumb. and they're still trying to do the remark because he's asked them to do it. But they keep smiling and they laugh. And before it ends, it shows the picture of the way you respond is what you get out. In other words, if you scream back, you're going to get screaming. It's going to be talking faster and faster and faster. And the faster we talk, the angrier we're getting. Why? We're not listening. But if we slow it down and we learn to compliment and we learn to build up.